Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 1st of October, recording at 8:04 p.m. British Summer Time. Well, this being Friday, this is the big picture, long-term outlook for the four major asset classes. But I also do tie it in with all the exciting action that's taking place right now. So first, stock markets, Wall Street, big picture. Secular bear market, which of course began in March 2000. Now, this does not mean the end of the world, to put it rather melodramatically, nor does it mean that we may all have to exist on a cat food diet, as one subscriber so amusingly put it. What it does mean, though, is that we have a different type of investment environment. We cannot expect expanding price-to-earnings ratios. Rather the opposite. We can expect contracting price-to-earnings ratios. Now, not in any sort of linear fashion, but in rolling waves with the market cycles. Now, also, what will be the shape of the secular bear market? Will it be downward waves over many years, as we saw with Japan? Or will it be like the late 1960s, right up to 1982, when the old secular bear market of that era ended and the new secular bull market began? Well, a lot of that will depend on monetary policy and inflation. And at this stage, at any rate, we see that central banks are very keen to keep the monetary policy rather generous, rather accommodative. So at this stage, I think we will, I'm not looking for a huge dip, certainly not over the short term. The danger period, the next serious danger period, in my view, is going to be next year. Well, that's not all that far away, is it? And probably running well into 2006. But we've got lots of time to prepare ourselves for that. And before that, even the stock market may enjoy, well, it's already enjoying a bit of an Indian summer. And there is this fascinating debate as to whether markets are going to flop from here. A whole lot of technicians have been saying that in recent weeks, or whether they're consolidating and moving higher. Now, I've been saying that the odds were about 55-45 in favor of the move on the upside. Well, we've had some explosive moves in stock markets today, right across the boards. And Wall Street, as I speak, is very much in line with that. We had big chunky gains first in Europe. The top one, I'm just looking at my screen, was the German DAX, up 2.62%. I mean, that's a whacking great gain. Getting back within 6 points, 5 points, and a fraction of the 4,000 level. So big upward dynamics in here today. And those gains generally exceed what we saw in Asia, although the Asian gains were very good. And I would expect some follow-through on Monday in Asia, given Wall Street's likelihood of closing with some pretty solid gains. Right now, near the highs of the day, 111 up in the Dow, 16.5 on the S&P. Thank heavens I covered that short at a small profit. And the NASDAQ up 43. And even my Nikkei stock average long is looking a little better, although not yet in the money. But it's turned. It's turned in my favor, and I think that will continue to appreciate. Now, how do we actually play it in terms of long-term? Well, sorry, let me get back to this consolidation versus reversal. I said 55-45 on the upside, and I think, well, put it this way, those odds have not deteriorated, and one could easily make a case for increasing the odds on the upside. Now, it ain't over yet, and I said that we could still, we'd see some nervousness in the latter part of September, and that could easily carry into the first half of October. Well, it's certainly not on the first day of October, that's for certain. But we'll know more by the end of next week, and what I mean is if these gains that we see are not only maintained but extended next week, then that will greatly increase the prospects for the year-end rally continuing. Conversely, if, as on other occasions when we've seen markets rally up to the higher side of this year's trading ranges and then falter and get to downward dynamic, but not enough to cause it to break down sharply, and not for them to break down sharply, and then they regroup, move above the highs seen a week or so earlier, and then fall down quite sharply. So again, if this market goes pear-shaped next week, then we have to think in terms of a longer, deeper consolidation. But I don't rationalize strength, and this is some very strong action in here today, despite the fact that the oil price is high, 50.12 as I speak, and that carry in just about everybody's eyes, including my own, won the presidential debate last night, so that may narrow the polls. Mind you, as I said in my comment on that, narrowed the debate, won the debate in terms of style, not substance in my view, but style probably counts for more, because that's what people were looking for. They've already made up their minds in terms of substance. Now, how do we actually play this stock market move? And first, the core positions, the ones that I really, really do like, that I'm very reluctant to sell unless they do surprisingly well. Now, that will range from Asian emerging markets, and indeed I would expand that to all emerging markets, but I've concentrated in the Asian emerging markets. But it could just as easily be Eastern Europe emerging markets, it could be South American emerging markets, but I, again, as I say, I do like the Asian ones. I think the growth stories there are probably a little more certain, and I've concentrated in India and Thailand. Among the developed markets, I like Japan. Now, Japan's lagged here recently, and that'll be the case from time to time, but Japan's secular bear market is over. Therefore, it's in the base formation extension stage of a new secular bull market. Wall Street's secular bear market is only 4.5 years old. Now, what core sectors do I really like? Well, here we're down to the supply inelasticity markets. So my Investec Global Energy Fund, I wish I had more. I wish I'd put more in that. I said I'd only add to it on weakness, and I'll stick to that. Emerging markets I've already covered. It's not a subsection the way the energy field is. If you go for the individual shares, go for the high yield majors. Another subsector that I like, mining shares. Now, these can be very, very volatile. They usually are. Again, I'd go for the heavyweights, but when the metal runs, then there'll be all sorts of speculative plays in the second line, specky companies. But if I were to have just one in the gold sector, it would be it would have to be Newmont Mining. And if I were to have just one in, say, silver, it would probably be Silver Standard Resources. But as I say, throughout all the mining shares, I would very much concentrate in the top quality companies. There can be core positions that you can probably hold for quite some time. The only time I would consider selling them, excuse me, would be when they have done much better than you had expected. And the best time to buy them, of course, is when they're beginning to look frightening or out of fashion because they've fallen so far. In other words, you're really starting to worry about your investment. because that position has come back down. Now you won't be worrying quite so much if you had lightened when it last got overextended, and they will be volatile. So bottom line, buy low, sell high in those core industries, energy, mining. Those will be the best. Now, moving on to government bonds. I'm a bear of this sector. Secular bear market, I believe, began with the end of the secular bull market in June 2003. And we are very much in the overall top development phase. It's a lengthy top development phase, as I believe I forecast that it would be last year and earlier this year. And why is it lengthy? Because people are still very concerned about deflation. So they're still in that mindset, and they're worried about the prospects for weak economic activity over the next few years. And so we may well see that next year and in 2006. But really, at the bottom line, the yields are too low relative to the debt mountain that exists and relative to all the credit creation that is taking place, which, of course, has sown the seeds for another major inflationary cycle. And that inflation pressure is being suppressed by very competitive manufacturing costs in a lot of countries around the world, not least China, which has made it difficult for prices to go up, and also has helped cap wages in a good many industries. So that has, as I say, has kept inflation lower than it might otherwise be. But don't believe those phony CPI statistics. Inflation's a whole lot higher, as you already know, if you pay the household bills. So I like to short bonds after the rallies. It's all down to timing. We've got to look at the charts and play these. I held off and held off during that rather good rally that started in May. And as you know, I shorted, or may recall, I shorted the US Treasury bonds on Wednesday, and I also shorted the JGBs. Both have been falling in here, so this I felt that was a preliminary signal on the bonds. Fortunately, it followed through, and now the JGBs are following through. I'm not all that far off putting in the money stops. If we get a weak close here, well, I think we've just about had the close here. I'm looking at the U.S. Treasuries. They closed, or now they're still trading. They're down 23.30 seconds at 111.16 on the December contract that I shorted. Okay, moving on to the currency markets. I'm sure we'll have more action in here before too long, but most of them are still range bound. Although we saw the dollar soften against the euro strengthened generally here. We've seen that in the last few days. It's backed off a little bit in here today. But currencies, in terms of the very big picture long-term outlook that I should focus on, currencies don't get these once in a generation long secular bull and bear markets, as you know, largely because no country can withstand a strong currency for a number of years. And in this environment, no government wants a strong currency, bottom line. And when their currency begins to strengthen, they start jawboning, and they certainly print a good deal more of it. So the fiat currencies, the paper money currencies, are steadily being debased. Expect that to go on for the next year, many years. And that will mean that if you want a hard currency, it's gold. And or its proxy is silver, and that's the one I prefer. Anytime, let's move on to those. Anytime gold gets a shakeout, it's entering buying territory. I wouldn't sell it until it gets those one of those surprisingly good rallies. In other words, that everybody is surprised, not least those who hold it, at how strong the prices suddenly become. That hasn't happened yet, but it's very, very firm at 419.47. So we may well get another one of those runs on the upside. And when it all looks terribly exciting, and when you're getting those extrapolation forecasts by analysts, that's the time to either start taking some profits or perhaps to run a tight trailing stop on the position. And of course, when it gets the shakeout and we start getting the bearish forecasts and the extrapolations, that's the time to buy it, because these are secular bull markets. And the same thing applies to the industrial metals, which are all down a wee bit today, but they've had a pretty good run recently. The industrial metals will be more volatile. Now, Christopher Wood makes some interesting comments in the Greed and Fear report, which I posted today, on China. And China's incredibly exciting story, as we all know, on its way to becoming an economic superpower, but there are all sorts of problems to be overcome, rigidities in the system. And Christopher Wood is basically saying is that there's going to be some big bust up at some stage. It's not imminent. We don't need to hold our breath, but we do need to watch out for that, to monitor that situation, because that will have worldwide implications, and not least not least in these metal markets, which would see some huge declines, and that would create another one of the great buying opportunities, because China will may get into some financial crisis that takes it off the rails for a year or a bit, but then is likely to pick up again and resume its growth. But we don't have to worry about that anytime soon, but we don't want to sort of naively think that China's progression is going to be linear in terms of in perpetuity. Okay, now what else have I got to cover with you? The agricultural commodities, tricky sector, as those of you who have traded this know. There are some terrific opportunities in the very bombed-out markets. We caught orange juice earlier in the year, and that's still going up. The amount of profit I took out of that was very, very small relative to the move that's taken place overall, because it was pretty choppy, volatile one. But they won't all be like that. Coffee's proved a bit choppy. Coffee's really a baby step situation because of the base formation. In other words, one should be nibbling very lightly on the sell-offs, lightening a bit on the rallies while retaining a core position. I think that will pay off. That's the way to trade it. Bargain basement agricultural commodities include the grains. That's oats, corn, wheat, and soybeans. Now, I have recently purchased corn and added to my soybeans position. They're both up a tad in here today, but are very, very quiet. They could drift. They may drift a little lower in here, in which case I would consider adding again, particularly to the corn, because that position is smaller than my soybeans position. It is just a matter of time before China becomes a big buyer in those markets. They're ruthless players of these markets. They were aggressive buyers early in the year. Everybody jumped on the bandwagon, the momentum trades. I played a little bit of that myself as a late entry, because I was concentrating on the metals. Then China pulled out of the markets, and we've had prices collapse back down. They're dirt cheap down at these levels. We haven't yet seen the upward dynamics that indicate that the grains are about to run on the upside, and that will be pretty spectacular action when it does occur. So the choice, if you're interested, for anyone who was interested in this sector, I don't give advice on this, I just tell you what I do. But the technical choices in this would be to nibble on a baby steps basis, or wait until you see a clear upward dynamic on the green charts. Now, what would those look like? That'll be when you see a day that's so strong that people say, wow, look at that. It's completely out of character with what's taken place previously, and that'll probably mark the beginning of a major run. Well, I don't want to run on too long. I just mentioned natural gas. Got scarifyingly close to my in-the-money stop here today because following that report that the supplies were, near-term supplies were adequate, but then firmed up a little bit to be down just 23 cents on the day at 677 for the November contract. And I've already mentioned to you that crude is still hovering around that $50 level, and that's the risk for well, what are the two risks for stock markets here in the short term? One's the oil price. The other one is if what the perception of Kerry looking presidential, the debate last night, if that leads through to a significant erosion of Bush's lead in the polls, and that would also cost a pall over over Wall Street, which is not a political comment, but very much in line with the historic trends, as you know. Have an excellent weekend.